I'm Lee Blue, and this is Double Stack, where WordPress freelancers discover the tech stack and the business development stack to become high-value, sought-after WordPress consultants. So if you're tired of burning yourself out with those high-stress, low-budget projects, and you're ready to start working with clients you love at the rates you're really worth, then you're in the right place. All of this is 100% free, so please subscribe to and review our podcast. You will make more money, get better clients, and build your business faster if you learn to stop pleading for work and start pitching your solutions. So I want to talk today about the difference between pleading and pitching, because it's all the difference in the world when it comes to the types of clients you land, what you can charge, the relationship between you and the client, scope creep, you know, competition. It's just a fundamentally different thing. And the difference comes down to who's leading the relationship. But before we even get into any of that stuff, let's dive into the whole pleading for work thing, because pleading for projects is miserable. It's a miserable experience. And I used to do it for years. And I would, what happened is you get a request for proposal, you know, like an RFP would come in. And like, I used to write all these RFPs for like government contracts. And you just sit down and you just write all this stuff. And you know that, I mean, have you ever written a proposal for a project where you know that the client is not going to get the outcomes that they want? Like, I can remember the last time I wrote an RFP, and this is the deal breaker one. This is the one that I, after this or during this, I vowed that I was not going to do RFPs anymore. So I'm sitting there for almost a full hour at this point, writing an RFP for a proposal for an RFP, and it was for a ski lodge. And the ski lodge basically wanted somebody to come in and basically integrate like a news feed and a weather feed so that they could actually display news and weather on their website for the purpose of getting more people to go to the ski lodge, right? So they're thinking, yeah, people come to the website and get the news and get the weather and all that stuff, and now we'll get more guests at the ski lodge. And it's like, going into it, right off the bat, like, you know, nobody goes to a hotel website to get their daily news, right? Like, you just know that. Like, no one's going to do that. This project is going to take a long time. It's going to be expensive. And it's not going to get them the outcomes that they're looking for, right? They're not going to get more traffic to the site. They're not going to get more guests at the hotel. It's just going to be stupid, right? And so here I am trying to write out a proposal for all of this, trying to, like, plead for the work, basically, right? Like, yeah, I've got the skills. I know how to do the API integrations. I'm going to give great customer service, blah, blah, blah. My price is going to be great. You know, like, I felt like I was just begging for the work, even though I knew in the back of my mind, really in the front of my mind, this is dumb, right? There's so many better things. There's so many better ways that they could spend their money other than this project. And yet here I am writing a proposal for it. And so I quit. I just didn't do it anymore. It's like, I'm not doing that anymore. And it doesn't make any sense. It's a ridiculous thing to assume that somebody in your client's business is able to tell you how to do marketing and web design and, you know, social media and all the other things better than you could tell them how to do those things, because you're the expert, right? So it's like, you got to stop pleading for work and instead pitch some solutions. And so that's basically the whole idea for what I wanted to get in and talk to you guys about today, is how do you make that shift? Because it's not as easy as it might sound. Like, you might be tempted to say, oh yeah, I'll just start pitching new ideas rather than responding to RFPs. But it isn't that easy, because pleading wears masks. You know, pleading for projects comes in a lot of different flavors where it kind of hides what you're actually doing. And so I'll give you an example to demonstrate all of this. So here's a few questions that might sound like you're pitching a project, but really you're actually pleading for work. And one of them would be, do you need any help updating your website? Right? So that might be, okay, well, I'm not responding to an RFP. I'm reaching out to people to see if they need any help updating their website. Maybe they'll say yes. Or it could be, I noticed your website's not responsive. Why don't we build you a new website, build you a better website that actually responds to mobile, do better for search engines, all that other stuff. You know, how about that? Or are you looking for somebody to manage your social media? right? And so you kind of reach out to them with these questions, thinking that you're helping, right? But really, you're not helping. That's not pitching. That's still pleading, but with a mask on, right? So it's not as blatant as trying to like do an RFP for a government contract or that ski lodge thing or whatever. But it's not giving an idea, right? So the difference between pleading for work and pitching a project is pleading is taking, pitching is giving. Right? So pleading means I'm taking your objectives, I'm taking your strategies, I'm taking your ideas, and then I'm implementing them. That's what it basically means to plead for work. Whereas pitching a solution means I am giving you the objective, the strategies, and all of this stuff. It's like, are you giving or are you taking? That's ultimately the difference between pleading for projects and pitching solutions. Because all those questions that I just asked, like, do you need help updating your website? Your website's not responsive. Do you want to fix that? Are you looking for social media? All of that can be reworded and you remove the mask from the questions and you can really see that you're pleading it. So, you know, you could say, do you need any help updating your website? And just change that around to, will you please hire me to update your website? Right? That's really what you're saying. Please hire me for that. Or will you please hire me to build you a new website? Or will you please hire me to manage your social media? It's like you're pleading for the work. And then if they say yes, you also realize that you're pleading because you're like, okay, well, what do you want me to say on social media? Or what do you want the website to look like? What features are you looking for? How many pages do you need? You know, what are your goals? And so you just, all you're really doing with these sneaky questions is you're just kind of moving, you know, you're kind of say, well, I don't need the RFP. Instead of writing down what you want, just tell me what you want, right? So you're just, it's just a request for proposal that's given to you orally. And maybe you're kind of tapping on the client to try to get, you know, get there first or whatever. But it's still, you're just pleading for work. And when you do it that way, you're going to find, well, first of all, it's hard to land the client in the first place, right? So like if you just call somebody up and you start talking to them and say, you know, can I build you a better website? Do you want social media? What do you want me to do? They're probably not thinking about you right now, and they don't know what to ask you to do. If they were thinking about you and did have something to ask you to do, they'd probably be calling you, right? Instead of the other way around. So the way that you land clients with this whole pleading for work thing is you just happen to catch them at a time where they're about to start thinking about these types of issues. And that's hard to do. The odds of that are very low. Like most of the time when you reach out to someone like that, they're not thinking of you. They're not thinking about their website. They're not thinking about social media. They're thinking about all the different fires that they're trying to put out today that deal with other things. And so you're interrupting all of that, asking them to, hey, you know, change your mind and tell me what to do about the web stuff. And that just doesn't work very well. Most of the time, clients are like, hey, we don't really need you right now. I'll call you. You know, thanks for checking in. I'm glad you were calling me or whatever. But we don't need anything right now. We'll call you when we do, right? This is the same reason why if you're trying to sell like a retainer for prepaid hours for something, like, hey, you know, just put me on retainer for 10 hours a month or whatever. Most people say no to that. And instead what they'll say is, even though you're offering me discounted hours if I buy them up front, I'm going to pay for more expensive hours later because I don't know what to ask you to do for all the hours. And that's why most people say no to those types of things. So like selling prepaid hours is stupid. Never mind the fact that hourly rates and hourly billing is just bananas. Like don't try to get into any of that. That'll mess everything up for a large number of other reasons. But for right now, what we're talking about is why do people say no? And they tend to say no because they don't know what to tell you to do for those hours. Because you're kind of pleading for the work rather than pitching the ideas. So there's an art. The art of pitching involves a couple of different steps. One step is you have to figure out what it is that you're going to pitch in the first place, right? So you have to do some work up front, but you're already doing work up front. So one of the big objections that I get for, well, I don't want to do this whole pitching thing because I'm doing all this free work. I'm doing all this work up front to try to figure out what people need. It's like, you're already doing the work up front. If you're replying to RFPs, you don't have the job yet, and you're spending all this time competing. The chances of you winning an RFP versus the chances of you actually winning with a pitch, you're going to win so many more times with the pitch than the RFP because you're not competing with anybody, or you're competing with very, very few people, if anybody. And that's a huge difference. And even with the RFP, you're doing the work up front. Like I used to have my whole business structured around writing proposals for RFPs for like government contracts and different businesses and all that stuff. And it worked. Like you would win some and you can run a business with that. But today it's even harder because more and more people are lowballing everybody. And so you've got to lowball too. And then you're like, well, even if I win the project, I probably won't be making enough money to stay afloat anyway. So then it's really frustrating. So you have to get into the pitching thing. What you have to do is you have to think of something to offer up front before you reach out to the client, and then reach out to the client and tell them what your solution is, what your ideas are. Like you have to do, you kind of do it backwards from what normal people would do. And so you're kind of thinking through, hey, if I was this person and I ran this business, what would I want somebody to tell me? And then you tell them those things, right? So that's how it's going. And what you're now doing is you're introducing new information, right? You're introducing new ideas and you're giving people value, right? And you are doing some work up front, but you're probably doing less work up front than you otherwise be doing trying to, you know, write these giant, you know, proposals to respond to these requests for proposals and stuff. So that's the idea. So you have to start with something to offer and then you present the offer, right? And it doesn't really have to have any questions in it, which is another way that you know that you're not secretly or sneakily like pleading for work, you're presenting things. So you would say something like, hey, I noticed that you've been running some Facebook ads. I see your ads on my feed. It looks like they're getting some engagement. It's probably driving a lot of traffic to you. But did you know, if you're like me, you've probably been following the whole Facebook Apple feud, and you know, in the near future, it looks like Apple's going to make some shifts to the way they do their privacy, and that's going to negatively impact the way you can target your Facebook ads. So I want to reach out to you for a couple reasons. First, there are a couple of tweaks that you need to make to your Facebook account to make sure that you're prepared for the shift. So I want to talk to you about that. And second, I wanted to introduce a couple of other ideas for alternative sources for leads, so you're not so heavily dependent on one channel. So, you know, here's a link, click my link, hop on my calendar, and let's talk about that. Looking forward to catching up. And that's it. That's your pitch, right? So that's how you do it. So if you're saying something like that, it's totally different from, hey, do you want a better website? Or I saw a broken link. Do you want to hire me to fix it? It's like, you're doing something legitimate now. And so it means, okay, you're thinking about this Facebook thing. You know how to fix the account so it's ready for the updates. You have some other ideas to offer. And you're presenting new information, right? And then when you land the client like that, now you're the one in the leadership position, meaning that scope creep is under control because they're doing the things that you're suggesting. So you're providing the scope, which means if you don't want it to creep, it doesn't creep because you're the one providing the scope. It means that you're high value, meaning that they can't get this kind of help from somewhere else because they don't know how to ask for it since you're providing new information to them. So that makes you able to charge dramatically more than what everyone else is charging, where you're just kind of writing these, you know, responding to all these RFPs, and you know all these other people are probably lowballing, so then you lowball too, and then everything, that's why everything's so cheap. It used to be that you could sell $20,000 websites. Today, you can't do that. No, you might be able to get $2,000, maybe, something like that at best. And so all these other people are doing this lowball stuff, and so you have to do the lowball stuff too. But then even worse than that is you're sitting there thinking, even if I did do all this stuff, it wouldn't help them. It wouldn't help them get the clients they want. You know, putting news and weather on your hotel site doesn't make more people want to go to the hotel. It's not going to drive more traffic. It's not going to do anything. It's going to be a complete waste. You ought to just, you know, quit this whole project, take the money you would have spent on this project and go buy ads or run a radio ad or something. Who even knows? Anything would be better than this. And then you're sitting there in the back of your mind, no, this is stupid, but I'm doing a good job being stupid. So, but it's so exhausting. It's not fun. It doesn't feel good. It doesn't help anybody. So what you want to do is you want to shift away from that and get into a situation where you're providing new information, stuff that the client otherwise wouldn't even know, and then present that and say, not only am I telling you this stuff, I've also got the skills to implement all the things I'm telling you. And now you're providing both levels of service. You're providing that kind of business, kind of consulting, you know, the business stack, but you also have the tech stack, so because you can actually implement your own ideas. That's the whole concept behind double stack. You come with those two things, business stack and the tech stack. And that's how, that's the double stack thing, right? That's the whole point of how do you actually start pitching rather than pleading. So if this is sounding like something you want to learn how to do, let's get on the phone and talk about it, right? So hop on over to doublestack.net/call. You'll see my calendar pop up and schedule a 45-minute session to talk so we can figure out, well, What does it sound like when you're talking to your clients? What questions are you asking? Are you pleading or are you pitching? If you want to get into pitching, I'll give you a step-by-step roadmap on how to do all that stuff. And then at the end of the call, you can either take the roadmap and run with it on your own, or if you want my help implementing all the stuff that we've talked about, we can talk about that too. But either way, you know, whether you want to work with me or not, let's get on the phone for in-depth time, for 45 minutes, and talk about this so we can actually get you in the right direction so you don't have to drive yourself crazy pleading for work all the time. And instead, you can actually start providing value and helping people and caring for the clients that you have rather than withholding information from them just so you get a job. So head on over to doublestack.net/call and get on my calendar so we can talk about this stuff. And then either, you know, take the advice or whatever and kind of run with it on your own, or we'll talk about, you know, getting you into DoubleStack and working on all this stuff together. Either way, my strong advice is stop pleading and start pitching. And when you do that, you'll make more money, you'll find better clients, you'll grow your business faster, and everything will be dramatically better than if you're just out there, you know, pleading people, you know, begging people to hire you to do a thing. So there you go. That's what I want to talk about today. And looking forward to talking to you. Go over to doublestack.net/call. We'll get on the phone and get this stuff worked out for you too. Awesome, guys. Good seeing you. Take care.